I completed my elementary school at Nativity Boys School, and I completed my 10th grade at St. Joseph's School in Addis.
So what was life growing up in Ethiopia?
You know, it was great. People my generation were idealistic, full of energy. We have a lot of respect and love for each other, and love and respect for our parents, elders, and teachers. We had a very good understanding and awareness of our country as well as the world. And we were more advanced in some ways than most teenagers today. And I really have a lot of great memories of the country and my friends and my teachers, both at Nativity and St. Joseph. It was a wonderful time.
I did go to Nativity as well as St. Joseph.
Yeah, that's great.
Small world. So when and why and at what age did you come to the United States?
Well, I came here in Los Angeles in 1970 after completing my 10th grade at St. Joseph. And I was 17 when I arrived in Los Angeles, California.
And then from Los Angeles, you went to school there or...
I completed my high school in Los Angeles, California, and then I completed my undergraduate studies at Claremont McKenna College and my graduate school at Pepperdine University, where I obtained my MBA.
So what was it like living and pursuing your studies in California? 10th grade is very young.
That's true. In fact, my first year was extremely difficult in Los Angeles because we lived up in the hills where there were no public transportation, which meant that I had to work anywhere from 3 to 4 hours a day, both from going from the house to school and to work and coming back. Of course, the entire problem was solved after I acquired my first car, which was a 1965 Volkswagen. And, of course, Los Angeles is a melting pot. This is a place where you see people from everywhere in the world. So the weather was great. The opportunities that existed in Los Angeles, California was phenomenal. I went to undergraduate school primarily through a grant scholarship. I completed my graduate school through California State Fellowship. And again, I have nothing but fond memories about Los Angeles, California. Of course, I had to wait for 7 years after I arrived in Los Angeles to take my first vacation. It was, you know, the first 7 years were primarily focused in studies. So, but I love California. I still have my daughter there, and we have a lot of friends, so I have nothing but fond memories.
You graduated in banking?
My undergraduate degree was in economics. And my graduate degree was primarily in finance.
How did you become an investor in financial institutions and this renewable energy sector? How did that come about?
Well, you know, I spent over 25 years of my career in banking and finance. I was ultimately vice chairman of U.S. Bank, which is the sixth largest bank in this country. It has over $260 billion in assets. And I took an early retirement from the bank, and then I co-founded a green bank, one of the first green bank in this country that specializes in providing funding to many of the clean technology companies in the Northern California area. And also, I took a lot of interest in the green sector, and I also served as the chairman of the Green Print Council in Denver for Mayor John Hickenlooper. I got involved in that project. We also gave me a sense of good understanding in the green sector area.
And in December 2009, you were appointed by President Obama to be Chief Executive Officer for the Millennium Challenge Corporation. Your appointment was also confirmed by the Senate. Did you apply for the position? Did Obama's people call you? How did you get the job?
I think both. You know, I wanted to serve in this administration. A lot of my successes in this country had to do with the opportunities that was provided to me. So I wanted to give back to the country that has given me so much. So I approached my friends in the White House, and I also wanted to work in an area where we could help many of the poor and the needy around the world, particularly those that have taken responsibility for their own growth, that have implemented good social economic policies. And definitely, it was a great fit for me to be nominated and finally to be approved both by Senate. I'm very grateful to the President for nominating me and for the Secretary of State for supporting me, as well as the Senate in confirming me. So I am excited. It's a wonderful place. And I've been here now for about 5 weeks. And, you know, it's just that we have many, many opportunities to make a big difference globally.
So now explain to our listeners what the Millennium Challenge Corporation is all about.
Millennium Challenge Corporation was created in 2004 with a mission to reduce poverty through long-term economic growth. It was created based on best practices learned in the last four decades from other U.S. development agencies. It is very innovative in terms of its approach. We work with countries that have implemented good social and economic policies, countries that are accountable for their own growth. A program does not have an earmark or a sector requirement. All the projects are designed and implemented by partner countries with an advice and counsel of MCC. Many of the projects are approved over a five-year period, and we want to make sure that many of the projects have a much higher economic rate of return. It, again, it's extremely innovative. We monitor and evaluate the progress from here in Washington. Eventually, really what makes it very attractive is it's really designed and implemented by partner countries. We just don't tell them where to do it, how to invest it. They identify once they've selected where they need to grow. So it is an outstanding program, and it's very transparent. It's result-oriented. Whatever we do at MCC is in the website, and we are trying to make a significant impact in improving the lives of many poor. We have a lot of commitment and support from the White House, from the President, as well as from the Secretary of State. This is an area in which they both have a lot of interest. So we are excited, and we believe we have great partners. Our program is not for everyone, but nevertheless, for those that have an agreement with us, we believe we would make a big difference.
How many African countries so far have formed partnerships with the MCC?
Altogether, within the MCC program, we have 19 different countries that have signed compacts. Of those 19, 12 are African countries. We have about $7.5 billion commitment. Of the $7.5 billion commitment, $5.2 billion is in Africa. I'll tell you some of the countries are as Benin, Burkina Faso, Cape Verde, Ghana, Lesotho, Madagascar, Mali, Morocco, Mozambique, Namibia, Senegal, and Tanzania.
There's still a lot more African countries that are not on that list. So what should these African countries do to actually form a partnership with the MCC?
Again, we are one of the tools that's available for our government here. You know, there are a lot of other aid agencies in which African countries could qualify for, but we are looking primarily at three different areas and 16 different criteria. One is all of the countries are scored provided by other third agencies like the World Bank, Freedom House, and International Monetary Fund, and so forth. The three criteria, so the three areas that we look at is ruling justly, which include political rights, civil liberties, you know, how they control corruption, government effectiveness, rule of law, voice and accountability, and then on investing in people, we look at immunization rates, health expenditures by the government, primary education expenditures by the government, girls' primary education completion, natural resources management, and third, we look at economic freedom, such as regulatory equality, land rights and access, business, startup, trade policy, inflation, and fiscal policy. Again, there are 17 different indicators, and most countries that are selected by the board for this program, they have to score higher than the mean average.
Okay. A success story from any country that you've selected to be partnership with the MCC that has used the funds from the MCC to enhance their development, from an African country, and as an example.
Well, I'll give you a couple of examples. For example, okay. Ghana is leveraging MCC's compact funding with private sector commitment. For example, a large international production and marketing company is exploring sourcing its European market from compact-funded Ghanaian pineapple farms, considering long-term contracts with compact-supported Ghanaian farmers. That's just in Ghana. And overall, you know, we have approximately 37 different projects in most of our partner countries. For example, in Lesotho, in coordination with PEPFAR, and MCC is helping the children of HIV-positive mothers live long and healthy lives by renovating health centers. As more women deliver babies at this MCC renovated facilities with maternity wards, PEPFAR can better track the health of mothers and babies. In Burkina Faso, for example, MCC helped build nearly 400 girls-friendly classrooms, nearly 16,700 students, of whom 57% are girls. You know, we have many, many different projects, and again, all designed and being implemented by partner countries, and they are 5-year term. Most of them are infrastructure related as well, and we believe they all must be completed within the 5-year period, and you know, we're working with them to make sure that happens.
President Barack Obama made history as the first African-American president of the United States. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you are poised to be the first Ethiopian-American high-level appointee in the Obama administration. How do you feel about that?
You know, I'm very grateful for the president for giving me this opportunity, and I feel great, and it's an honor and a privilege to serve my country here that have given me so much. So what can I say? I'm truly honored and excited and blessed to be able to join his administration and be in a position where we could make a big difference for the world's poor.
Any feedback on your appointment from the Ethiopian diaspora?
You know, we did get a lot of congratulating notes from many of the Ethiopian people that live here, as well as many Africans here and abroad. And frankly, we also got a lot of congratulating notes from many of our constituencies where we do business, whether it be Latin America or Africa or Eurasia or Asia. So this has been a wonderful opportunity, and we'd like to maximize what has been done and continue to create more innovation and bring in the private sector as partners, as many of those countries in Africa continue to make some significant changes in terms of how they develop.